Hi guys, welcome to the Govnoli Experience, where we talk about issues people would not want to talk about, hidden secrets people will kill to bury, and of course valuable truths to live a good life. I am your host Govnoli, and guess what today is? Of course you know what it is. Today is a good day. So if you are listening to this episode right now, it means you are catching up with me on my birthday, because I am recording this episode on the 4th of November 2021 and it is my birthday on this day. So in this episode, it's pretty simple. I'll be talking about myself, and you know, I figured it's an opportunity for me to try and connect with my audience, let them get to, you know a bit of me, try to answer some questions I know is in their mind, and you know, get to vibe as usual. You get so first, I'll be doing an introduction of myself. Most of you just know me as Governor Lee, but my real name is Samuel Olatunde Oluwakayode. So Olatunde is my surname, Samuel is my first name, but my friends call me Kayode, Oluwakayode, because that was kind of the name I was called while I was growing up. So it was when, you know, I became an adult, I discovered that Samuel is actually my first name, and it would be really nice if I start, you know, using my first name and stuff like that. But if you call me Samuel outside, I'll just look at you like, who's this guy, why are you calling me Samuel? Only people that want to give me money should call me Samuel, please. You can call me Kayode or you can call me Govli. That's more acceptable. Right, so I was born in Lagos. I was brought up in Lagos, born and brought up in Lagos. Although my parents are from Ekiti State. I mean, my mom is from Ekiti State, my dad is from Ekiti State. But I think they met in Lagos, right? And you know, sometimes in the 90s, I came into the picture, you know, just this fine boy with this fine man and fine woman, you get. So I'm the first child of my parents, and you should see my mom. My mom is very beautiful. That should account for my looks, and I think my dad too is really handsome. That should also compliment. I mean, they compliment each other, and then their offsprings are quite beautiful and handsome. So like I was saying, I'm the first child of my parents. I have three siblings. I have two beautiful sisters and one handsome looking young man as a brother. While I was growing up, I lived in Agege all my life. You know, I schooled primary education, secondary education in Agege. So I don't like to call myself an Agege boy, but then Agege, wow, you get. So it's just the plain truth, it's the plain fact. I came from the wood. I'm not one of them get inside. I came from like the plain wood where they do the real stuff, you get. And then you hear stuff like, you know, Agege Logawa and stuff like that, you get. So let me not show myself on this episode of the podcast, but I hope you get to, you know, hear more of me in this form. So as I was saying, I did my primary education in Agege, in a school not too far from my house. While I was in primary school, I was so brilliant. I was actually very brilliant. I was the head boy of my class, I mean of my set. While I was in primary school, I was the head boy. I got awards. I was always, you know, bagging first position and all throughout primary school, sorry. And that continued and continued and continued. And, you know, when it was time to go to secondary school, I went to a public school. Of course, you know, my parents are not there, you get. So I went to a public school, State Senior High School, Oyewole. So if you know that school, that's the school I went to. So I finished primary school in 2006, and I think I joined secondary school in 2006 or 2007. I joined JSS1 in 2006 or 2007. And when I started school, it was a different life entirely. I had to like mix with people from different backgrounds and all, you know. I went to a private primary school, and having to go to a public secondary school, it was not as if it was totally strange. People, most of the guys there, you know, I see them around and stuff like that. But then it dawned on me that this is real life, and I have to evolve with whatever it is that is going on in secondary school. So I think I started to perform badly in my grades when I got to SS, I mean the senior secondary school. But then while I was still in
junior secondary school, I was still doing pretty fine. I was, although I was not so popular in school, secondary school, but then I did really fine. Until I entered SS1 and then I started performing badly in school. I started performing badly in my classwork and stuff because normally my parents are hustlers and I know they are trying to feed their children and stuff. And then I am going to school and my parents did not really have my time like that. It's not as if they did not really have my time. They tried their best. But then while I was growing up, I mixed with a lot of bad people. I mean, a lot of really, really terrible people. And it affected my lifestyle. It affected everything about me. And fast forward to towards the end of secondary school, I wrote my WAEC. I failed my WAEC. And I think before that time, I wrote GCE. Before that time, I failed my GCE. I think that was in 2012. I failed my GCE in 2012. I wrote WAEC in 2013. I failed my WAEC. But the thing about my WAEC was that I did not know I failed my WAEC because I passed some of the major courses. I think I passed a few of the major courses and I failed economics. And I applied for JAMB in 2013. I could not get into OAU. I think I wrote for OAU. I scored 231. I decided to put in for OAU, but then I did not get admission. I wrote JAMB again in 2014. I scored 212. I did not get into school as well. And I decided to write JAMB in 2013. And while I wanted to, you know, while I was making plans with all these things, I decided to speak with someone because normally my parents are not educated and they don't really know anything about all these things. And I don't have uncles or bigger cousins that I can always reach out to that will help me out, sort out all this stuff. Right. So I spoke with someone and the person checked my work and said, one of the reasons why I've not been getting into school is I did not have economics. And for a commercial course, I need to have economics to get admission into school. And then it dawned on me that I needed to pass economics again in my old level. So I had to write another work. So I wrote that third WAEC and I passed, and I wrote JAMB that year again. I scored 250. But from the point where I finished secondary school in 2013 up until I gained admission in 2015, I was working at a bakery where we make snacks, we make egg rolls, meat pies, donuts and stuff, and then we sell in large quantities. When I talk about large quantities, I'm talking about boiling 60 to 90 crates of eggs every day for egg rolls alone. So do the mathematics. See, 30 crates in one crate times 60. That's like 1,800 egg rolls at least in a day. And then we have to do donuts, we have to do meat pies, you have to do fish rolls and stuff like that. So I started working in a confectionery shop. I was doing supply boy. So what the supply boy does is when they make the egg rolls and stuff, I carried them and I go and supply our customers. It was in Ikeja in that period. So I was working there, I was earning I think 10,000 naira. I think it was 10k, yes. I was earning 10k. Now, you know, fresh out of secondary school, start working and stuff like that. You are earning money, and then during that period I was able to I bought my BlackBerry. I bought phones. I think I bought an Android phone too. Later, Sha. But I bought a BlackBerry. I think I bought two different BlackBerries. Sha, you know, big boy lifestyle and all. And then down the years, I grew in rank from a supply boy to more of a PA to the owner of the place. And I learned how to bake. I learned how to do everything. So if you look at me, if you are very close to me, you know that I know how to cook very well. I like to cook. So I think this was the origin of my confectionery, or should I say my culinary skills. Yeah, so, and apart from the fact that my mom used to make me stay in the kitchen with her, then I think what sort of motivated me to learn how to cook and stuff like that was while I was working at that confectionery company. So fast forward, I wrote JAMB in 2015 for the third time, and then I scored 250. I put in for UNILAG. I did not gain admission, but then I decided to settle for Yaba Tech, which was a polytechnic, right? So while I was in Yaba Tech, I mean, the name Governor Lee originated from Yaba Tech. And looking back at that, I think it was 2016, we did not resume school until 2016, right? So looking at that day in 2016, you know, when we resumed school in 2016, we were in class, and then I was in Yaba Tech. I was doing accounting. We were in class, and then the lecturer walked in and he said, "Who is the governor of the class?" Then all of us were freshers. There was nobody. We did not have a governor. There was no governor. So the lecturer asked, "Who is the governor?" And then I think some people told him, "We don't have a governor." And then he then asked, "Who wants to be the governor?" Everybody was quiet. Now, you know, normal tertiary institution, everybody would be forming big boy and stuff. And then I did not know the spirit that entered inside me. I mean, I did not know what entered inside me. And then I raised my hand up. And then immediately I raised my hand up. Lecturer said, "Oh, good, stand up." And I stood up and everybody started clapping. You know that moment when you look at yourself and said, and you look at yourself and you say, "Oh, you have just fucked up." That was the feeling for me. I mean, I literally stood up, looked at everybody around. It was a class of over 200 students. And I looked around and I said, "Oh, I have fucked up. Like, what did I just do?" But little did I know that step was going to be a catapult to who I am today. I mean, that bold step was going to be, I never knew that bold step was going to be a catalyst to whatever it is I would achieve or be right now. So I became a class governor in 2016, sorry. And I was the class head of over 200 students. You get that kind. I think it was 230 something in total. Because I can remember all matric numbers. 234. Yeah, 234 students. So we were together for 2 years, and I know most of you have been wanting to know how the name Governor Lee came by. So then, you know, it was all fun and vibes for me. The class governor, I didn't even know what I was doing. It was just all fun, and I just decided one day, they used to call me governor, and they call everybody's else governor too. You know, I was in accounting. If you are looking for another person, another governor of another class, say biz admin or say marketing, you will still say, "I'm looking for the governor." So I said that, let me just try to touch my name a bit now. Make I add something, maybe say, could make my name look sharp, you get. So I thought about it for a while. I thought about it, governor. I thought about my name. Should I say Governor K? Should I say Governor Latunde? Should I say, I tried to, you know, think outside the box, and I discovered that, Lee just came into my head in the middle of my thoughts. I was like, okay, Governor Lee. And then I said, okay, let me just see Governor Lee. And I went ahead to check the meaning of Governor Lee. And I also went ahead to check the meaning of Lee and stuff like that. So I checked it out and discovered that, okay, L-E-E is Chinese, and L-I, which is the other Lee, is Korean and stuff like that. So I decided to like settle for the Chinese Lee. Governor Lee. And then that was how Governor Lee came. It was all vibes. That was how Governor Lee came to pass. Everybody started calling me Governor Lee and stuff like that. So while I was in school in Yaba Tech too, I had a girlfriend, a very beautiful girl. She was very beautiful. I'm dead serious. She was so beautiful. And fast forward down to when I finished Yaba Tech. So something happened to me towards the end of my stay in Yaba Tech. So I don't want to talk about this, but I feel it is necessary for me to talk about it. If you are listening right now, I think you should pay attention. Right, so after my first year in Yaba Tech, my program was a 2 years program. After my first year in Yaba Tech, because Yaba Tech's grading system is 4 points, so it's all over 4 points, unlike universities where they do 5 points. Yaba Tech does 4 points. So when you do 3.5, between 3.5 to 4, then that means you finish with a distinction. And then when you do between 3.0 to 3.5, that's like an upper credit. So in my first year, I wrote 3.1 initially in the first semester. In the second semester, I wrote 3.1 too. So my CGPA averaged at 3.1 over 4 basically. And towards the beginning of the second year in school, I now learned that
at the end of our programs, PwC and KPMG usually pick students from our department to go and for internships. I mean, they pick the top 20. And for me to make the top 20 in my class, I was not the most brilliant. I was not the most, I was not the smartest. So for me to make the top 20 means I really need to put in that extra effort to make the cut. I mean, I need to put in that extra effort to make the cut. So I thought about it and thought about it. I said to myself, guy, this is a do or die affair. Your parents are not educated. If you mess this up, they are going back to Agege. And you would not like the outcome. So I decided to put in more effort. I was the governor. I was juggling so many things. And then it was at that period I started TMMUS. I'm sure you guys know TMMUS. It was at that period I started TMMUS with my friends and all. That's a story for another day. But in between these, after my first semester's exam in Yaba Tech, I wrote a 3.75 over 4. It was crazy. I mean, it was really, really crazy. I was happy, but something happened to that result that I want to share. So that result came because Yaba Tech, if you are a Yaba Tech student or if you have friends who go to Yaba Tech, I don't know about right now, but then their results don't always come out on time. And then the results always come out together. Right, so after the first semester, I was very confident in my result. I was like, all my courses, I was going to have A's. I think I had a lot of A's. I think I had like 6 or 7 A's out of like 9 courses in total. So you should see that it was very crazy. And a particular course, it is an entrepreneurship course. Like I said, our results did not come out on time. Our results came out a week before our second semester exam. Right, so pay attention. So our first semester result, when it came out, I saw the result and I had an F, right? So it was my final year in Yaba Tech. I was the class governor. And then, having all A's and one B and then an F. it was funny. It was crazy. And it dragged my GP to the mud. And it shattered my dreams. Because I know that the second semester results will not come out until like later. And I would miss my PwC and KPMG chance. What I was working hard for. Right. I started doing the calculations in my head and I told myself, I can't have an F. It can never happen. I can never have an F. So I went to the HUD. I complained. I did a lot of stuff and all that. I said, I cannot have an F. I fought it to the bone. And my HOD alongside my project supervisor alongside my HOD are going to resolve it for me. But it was too late. It was too late in the sense that I could not meet the opportunities I was supposed to meet. And I could not go to PwC or KPMG because of my grades. Yeah, so because it shut down my results and I was so sad. But guess what? This is not an aspire to perspire situation. This is real life. And let me tell you something about real life. I am the kind of person that approaches every situation with the mindset that this is real life. Life goes on. Whether you get killed or your friend gets killed or you lose a parent or you lose a sibling or stuff, life goes on. And you need to be a fighter, right? So I already knew in my head that I was going to miss a chance and I started searching for other opportunities. So that was how I decided to, you know, intern with GT Bank. So while I was interning with GT Bank, I wasn't enjoying what I was doing typically, but then I was looking for other opportunities. I mean, GT Bank was paying quite, you know, a big amount of money to me at that time. I think it was 40K. GT Bank was paying me 40K at that time and I was happy that I was earning that much. But then I was not satisfied because I knew if I had gone to like KPMG or PwC, I would be earning as much as 60K. And that 20K means a lot to me because I know where I came from. Because I know that, okay, this calculation, if I earn extra 20k for the next 6 months, that's like 2 times 6, that's 120k extra in my annual, in my salary, and you know what I can do, right? So I was looking for other opportunities, and that was, I got the opportunity to, you know, work with another company, and it was very competitive, and I jumped on it, and I left GT Bank in a month. I started working for P&G, and I was earning quite a lot. I think it was double of what I was earning at GT Bank. So after that period, after I got into P&G, and I looked at my life, I was now like, so if I had gotten the KPMG opportunity or PwC opportunity, I would have been fully satisfied with what I was doing and the pay, right? But what happened to me? Maybe because God wanted me to, you know, get something bigger than P&G or KPMG, PwC or KPMG, which is P&G, because the salary I was getting at P&G was way bigger than the salary the guys in KPMG and PwC were getting. So I was happy, and then I saw it all as a blessing in disguise. But this blessing wouldn't have been attainable if I had not put in the effort, if I had not put in pressure during the interview, if I had not prepared so well for the assessment tests. And it was at that point I realized that if you really want something and you work hard for it, you would get it. My first experience was when I wrote 3.75/4 while I was in school. I'm not a first class student. I'm not an A student. I'm not a grade A student. I know myself. But I'm the kind of person that once I believe that, yes, this is what I want, I'll find a way to figure out what I need to do. And I look at it and say, guy, this is what you need to do to make this work. Do you want to do it or not? If I want to do it, I do it and it works. And it is the plain truth. Unless I want to keep deceiving myself and lazing around, then I jump the queue and try to, you know, cut corners and then not get the results I want to get. But I know that to get this particular result, this is what I need to do. And I put in the effort and I will get it. I have that belief. And after my time at P&G, I did not even mention that while I was in Yabatec, I wrote JAMB. I've never failed JAMB. I was always passing JAMB. But one thing or the other keeps happening, and I don't know. I just keep getting, I don't know if it's bad luck or ill luck, but me, I believe no matter what it is, I mean, no matter what happens to me, you know, no matter the situation I find myself in, I try to, you know, make the best out of it. And I don't let sad things weigh me down. I don't let them weigh me down at all. Instead, I look onto the brighter side. And like I said, I'm not trying to motivate anyone with this podcast episode. It is just me trying to express myself, talk about myself, talk about my background. Maybe you can now learn one or two things, but the core message in this is discipline. So right now I like to talk about my businesses. The first one is CMMUS has been quiet for a while now. We are going through some sort of revamp, and because the partners focus on other things, so we are still pending CMMUS. You get. So I started CMMUS while I was in Yabatec, while I was a class governor, and the business has grown over time. We have signed a popular Instagram influencer. We had won pitches. I mean, when I got into Unilag, in a particular session, that was in 2019, we won 4 awards across 3 departments in our faculty and the faculty as a whole. So it was that simple. You know what you need to do. You put in the work and then you get the results. That's it. And towards the end of my first year in Unilag, that was after I gained admission into Unilag. No, I did not even tell you how I gained admission into Unilag. So towards the end of my stay in Yabatec, I decided to write JAMB again. And I told myself, guy, this is the JAMB you are going to write that will get you into Unilag. and you must get into it. Like I told myself that, and I said, okay, what do you need to score in jump to make your post-UME easy for you? Because we know when you write jump, you need to calculate their grades, their candidate grades with jump, post-UME, and WAEC. So I already knew what I had in my WAEC, and I looked at myself and said, oh, this is what I need to score in jump. If I score this so thing in jump, that means I must score this so thing in my post GME, and I couple with my work results. This is the final grade I will have. So I looked at all the departments and I said, okay, I wanted to settle for finance. I wanted to do finance because I'm interested in finance actually. So I decided to put in for finance, and I decided to study very hard for my jump. So in that year, I scored 277 over 300 in my jump. I was happy because scoring 277 means that it has relieved my post-UME pressure. So if I had scored lower than, if I had scored say 230, I would be aiming very high for my post-UME. But then I did my calculation, I figured that okay, I just need to score like 21 in my post-UME to pass, and I prepared adequately and I scored 21 on the dot, and then I passed and then I entered UNILAG. So it is just me all this while making this decision by myself, but over the years I've learned the hard way from my own personal experience. That is why I always appear as if I have my shit all figured out. I don't have anything figured out. It's just that my experience has been the bigger teacher for me. I've seen things happen to people, I've seen things happen to me, I've experienced and what it feels like to be on the lowest end of the table, and I don't want to be there. So it is financially, it is mentally, it is psychologically, and I'm dead serious about it. I understand what it feels like to be in this end of the table, right? So I look at myself and see myself in a lot of people. I see people that could be me or could be better than me, but these people are not putting in the efforts they need to put in, or should I say these people are finding it very difficult to discover their innate abilities or to discover themselves. And that is why I have decided to put it upon myself that as long as I'm alive, I'm going to do myself to impart people. I'm going to do my best to impart people. I'm going to do my best to help people discover what could change their life. Just like I discovered mine, but it took me years to do. So why not just help people achieve that faster? I mean, a lot of people I've had conversations with, I'm very certain of it, they never remain the same after our conversation. They never remain the same. Because I will speak from experience, I will look at your pain points and I will tell you, this is what you're doing and this is what you're doing wrong. I mean, when I talk about all these things, I tell them, I say, look at me as an example. I tell them about this same story I'm telling you guys, is the same story I tell everybody. And for some, or should I say, for some people, it might sound more emotionally intriguing than it is sounding now, because I'm just trying to rush everything in and they make it no more than, I don't know, more than say 35 minutes. But when I share this story to people, and then these guys see that, oh, we sort of have the same background, and why is my life like this? Why am I like this? Why are things working or not working for me in a certain way? And I'm the kind of person that always believes that no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, you have the chance to flip the switch. You have the chance to switch the flip, any way you decide to call it. You have the chance to turn things around, because you are the only limitation to whatever you can achieve. Right? So I was watching a video on Instagram, because I like to listen to these motivational guys because they sort of resonate with my mindset. So I was listening to somebody speak, and then the person said, imagine there is no limitation to what you can achieve. I mean, imagine that if you decide that, oh, I want to go to Mars and then I want to get the next 10 minutes. If it is possible for you to achieve that, if you know there's no limitation for you, what would you do? But because people have been faced with the with life's hard bricks, people have been faced with life challenges, and then they believe that, oh, they can be limited. And that is the one thing that will stop you from even trying, because of that belief. If you believe that I can be more than this, if you believe that, oh, no matter how hard I try, it won't work out for me, then you will always be limited to your belief. But this is me. I believe that if I decide to stop Idala Homes today, or decide to stop TMM Wears, or decide to stop Semirazas today, if I decide to say, okay, yes, I want to start fashion designing, I can tell you for a fact that I'll be one of the top 5 guys in the Nigerian fashion space. Say I want to go into full-fledged fashion designing. And I'm telling you for a fact. It is based off your mindset, and your mindset shapes what you can achieve. But it all boils down to your exposure, your creativity. And that is why you should never skip a phase in your life. I believe every lesson you learn in life is for a reason. I believe if you take shortcuts, you miss out on chances to learn. You miss out on opportunities to learn. Of course, those lessons, or should I say, some of those lessons might come in a bad form, say, in very hard. But if you decide to skip that phase, you miss the opportunity to learn those lessons. And when you are faced with much more bigger challenges in the future, you quit. Right. So I am categorically telling you that right now, I don't know what will happen to me, or that I have not seen that particular thing that can make me demotivated. I've not seen. And that is why I always hold my head high. I always keep my shoulders up and believe that whatever it is I decide to focus on, I can always achieve it if I put in the efforts I need to put in. And again, I think I need to add this. A lot of people mistake activities for efforts. You keep doing the same thing in the same manner and the same way, and expecting different results, or should I say expecting a higher level of result, or expecting luck to play out for you. It doesn't work that way. If you do something in a particular way, it doesn't work out. Learn. If you need to take a break and learn something different, or learn a new approach, please do that. Because you try to do something and did not work out the first time, the second time, the third time, doesn't mean you will not work out. For example, I wrote Jam 5 times. And each year, apart from the second time, each year, I kept scoring higher than I used to score in the previous year. I mean, in the first year, I scored 231. In the second year, I scored 212. In the third year, I figured I needed to enter school by all means. I scored 250. I did not enter university. In the following year, I wrote Jam again. I scored 255. The Jam I wrote that I entered in, like, I scored 277, because it is the effort. You need to look at your approach. You need to look at what you've been doing in the past. You need to look at how you do all these things. And mind you, I am not the kind of person that attend tutorials or extra lessons. Since I was in primary school, secondary school, I have never done it. So I don't know how to attend extra classes. I believe if I want to learn something, I can learn it on my own. If I put in the hours, if I discover that, okay, it will take me 8 hours to understand this thing, I'll create that 8 hours. Although if I try other approaches, say go to a lesson and stuff like that, I might learn faster. But I'm the kind of person that, while I was growing up, after I left secondary school, I became very socially active. And when I'm within people, I get distracted a lot. So I won't be able to focus. So that's why I try to, stay in my personal space. I have learned over the years that I can be more productive in my own personal space than I am with people. But of course, I have also learned over the years how to manage this particular issue I have with getting involved with people. Right. So, but then I have to discover what I want to discover first, and I had to take the initiative, I had to take the cue, I had to do what I need to do to get the results I needed to get. So I think I am talking too much right now. I don't want this episode to be much longer than it is. This is just me sharing a piece of, I don't know, my art, sharing a piece of my mind. If you are there, if you are listening to this, if you feel demotivated, if you feel you can make much out of your lemonade and out of your lemons, I am categorically telling you that if you put in the effort, you definitely get there. And I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be within 1 month. It's not going to be within 2 months. I mean, my growth journey started in 2016 to 2021 is 5 years. 5 years. I joined LinkedIn in 2018. I wasn't so active until 2019. And in 2020, during the pandemic, I hit a milestone on LinkedIn. I hit my first 5K followers on LinkedIn. One of my posts during the pandemic got featured on LinkedIn's article. I mean, LinkedIn's original article. And a lot of other things I did not see coming. But what shaped all these things you guys are seeing are the lessons I've learned in the past. I mean, I designed with Canva. I started teaching Canva in 2021, but I have been using Canva since 2018. So I used Canva for 2 years plus before I started teaching Canva. But a lot of you just want to start using Canva and start teaching Canva. That's why I said, once you try to skip the process, you skip a lot of opportunities to learn. And it is not good for you. It is not good for your growth, and it is not good for the quality of your output. It is not good for the quality of what you put out there. So I'm going to try to sign this off with whatever it is you believe you want, whatever it is you want to do, as long as you believe in yourself, I believe that you can achieve it. I absolutely believe, and I'm trusting you to do so. If you need to talk to me personally, you can reach me on social media. My Instagram is gov_lee. That is govlee. My WhatsApp is 0706340424. You can always reach out to me on any of these channels, and I'll be happy to, you know, respond to you and try to, you know, provide you with guidance in any little way. And until next time, stay blessed, and, you know, keep doing what you are doing. Don't stop. If you stop, you are failed. If you snooze, you lose. If you decide to stop, you just shot yourself in the leg. It means you have decided to halt your progress, because nobody else can do it for you except you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Govnor Lee Experience, and God bless you.